Good afternoon. Welcome back to Stephen Minister Training. We are on Distinctively Christian Caring Part 2 today. You may recall that Part 1 covered a variety of important topics, including God as the cure giver, as we're the caregiver, God's constant presence and Christian tools like Scripture and the Bible. And then, of course, we touched on prayer and servanthood versus servitude. All very, very important concepts to have straight. Now we're going to look at part two. Same module, Distinctively Christian Caring. There's three broad topics in this particular half of the program. Reaching spiritual depths, building a prayer in a lot more detail than we went before in part one, using the Bible. So it would be helpful if you did have your Bible handy, because a couple of the exercises use it directly, and you may want to actually take some time to do the exercises on your own. So the goal of the training today is that we will become more distinctively Christian in our caring and relating. You should be on page 73 in your Stephen Minister Training Manual, the blue book, first of two manuals. The devotion today has to do with the Holy Spirit interceding for us. As Stephen ministers, you will enter people's lives during some of the most intense emotional turmoil they have ever experienced. Typically, a Stephen minister is assigned when there's a crisis. I can't say exclusively, but typically that is the reason for a Stephen ministry. While your training will equip and prepare you with the skills and caregiving tools you need to serve that care receiver with a lot of confidence, the real reason for the confidence that you will have is simply and very profoundly the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will be present in your caring always. With that reassurance and reality, caregiving will reflect what God wants it to reflect, and you will have all the support you need. If you take a look at the verses from Romans at the beginning of this lesson, it says a whole lot. Romans 8, 26, 27, "Likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Still, there may be times when words fail. You don't really know what to say to support your care receiver. The best thing to do, as it says in Romans, is to pray. Even if we're not sure of what to pray for, God's Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf. That applies in all circumstances. So pray for your care receiver when you're apart, and if the care receiver is willing, pray for that and with that your care receiver when you're together. The Holy Spirit will help fill the spaces in our prayers when we really don't know what to say, and that can happen. Let's begin with the opening prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Even more, we thank you that prayer is not dependent on our own knowledge and understanding, but that the Spirit knows what to pray when we're at a loss. As we prepare ourselves for caring ministry, help us to know and understand how best to use prayer to meet the needs of our care receivers. We trust that the Holy Spirit will meet us in prayer and do what we're unable to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to take a look at the book Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life, different parts of the book, different chapters, and I'll try to reference them as we go. In some cases, you'll have a little time to read them, and actually you can obviously stop the recording at any time and do that. In other cases, some of this will hopefully come back from your initial reading of the book. First topic, reaching spiritual depths. That is looked at in more detail in chapter 3, beginning on page 29 of Christian Caregiving. If Stephen ministers provide any kind of care, it's spiritual care, and it is crucial. It seems that too often a person's spiritual needs are overlooked or even ignored. This is an area where Stephen ministers can really make a big difference with their care receivers. Along with being good care providers in general, Stephen ministers are uniquely equipped to minister to their care receivers' spiritual needs. But you need to remember that people can be hesitant to talk about their spiritual needs. They may think they're going to be judged for what they share, maybe even criticized. I have to think, even in our own program, our service program, how often do we see people listed for a multitude of different physical needs, and they're important. But how often do we see emotional needs or spiritual needs listed? There may be a struggle. You know, the care receiver may just be in turmoil as to how honest to be with themselves about what is going on in their spiritual lives, let alone someone else. But for whatever reason, some people closely guard that part of their lives. And I can tell you that I'm aware of at least one glaring example of this, and I can give you some general impressions of this, in a caring relationship some number of years ago between a Stephen minister and their care receiver. And that particular care receiver, though there wasn't too much doubt that he was a Christian man, he was very guarded about sharing his spiritual convictions or emotions or needs. And at one point, he even made the statement to his Stephen minister that his spiritual life or his faith was private. And that he really wouldn't share it with anyone. Well, I guess the correction on that would be, our faith is always personal, but it's never private. In fact, we're called to share our faith with others. So it was a really difficult relationship, and it was hard for the Stephen minister to come to a place where that person was willing to at least share a little bit about what was going on with him spiritually. As a Stephen minister, you are going to help your care receiver recognize and share their spiritual needs. And so you have to wonder, how can you do that? Well, remember, we talked about a safe house. By creating a safe atmosphere of acceptance and listening attentively and reflective listening, use that as well, and encouraging your care receiver to share and express their thoughts and feelings openly. So the more comfortable we can help them feel in the relationship, the more likely they're willing to share. As we discussed in our last session, we need to remember that we're caregivers and God is the cure giver. We can't fix anything. He can fix everything. In Stephen ministry training, you're going to learn and practice skills for relating to and addressing our care receivers' deepest spiritual needs. Now, in class, we break off at this point and do an exercise in small groups. And what we're talking about, I put a slide up at that time, too, that kind of goes through the instructions for this exercise. And if you look in Focus Note 1, it's on page 73 in your book, you'll see the questions that each person is asked to respond to. in this exercise. So what kinds of spiritual needs might the Stephen Minister care receivers have? What signs might you observe that could point to spiritual needs in your care receiver? And then the last one, suppose you sense deep underlying spiritual needs as your care receiver talks to you. How might you encourage that care receiver to talk about those needs? So we ask each person to relate on those in those particular areas. So let's discuss, and in class, by the way, we discuss everyone's input and their ideas. So let's move on now and discuss a little bit about the second overall topic of part two, building a prayer. We talked a little bit and we did a little exercise in the first part of this module where we used some basic tools in building a prayer. But we're going to practice now more than we did initially. If you look at your Christian Caregiving A Way of Life book, we're talking now about the content of chapter 6. So we're going to be talking about how to build a prayer, which will make praying a lot easier because we'll relate the prayer directly to the needs of the care receiver. So in the last session, we learned about the importance of listening and learning before praying with your care receiver. Very, very important. We can't just start to pray spontaneously having no idea what the needs are. Well, we can, but that wouldn't be very effective. It's not the preferred way to do this. Now, after learning about some of the needs of your care receiver and before praying with your care receiver, now we're going to go into a little bit more depth. The process we're going to discuss is contained in Chapter 6, as I said, Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life, and that begins on page 63. I would suggest you probably take a couple minutes and look through this again. You've read it before, but the points in here are really, really important. Building a prayer instead of guessing at your care receiver's needs is probably the best way you can be sure that your prayer is going to meet those needs. So it involves learning about your care receiver's situation and to try to determine how to pray with them in a very personal way. Doing so, once you've learned as to what's on their mind and heart, doing so will help you pray in a way that's much more sensitive and meaningful, and therefore helpful to your care receiver. We do an exercise now in class where we pair up and actually go through the steps to building a prayer. There are some questions that are asked. I mean, you can look in your book. You'll see a little bit of information on this. But in your Christian Caregiving book, it'll help you a lot to take a look at what, or review again, what the content is of that chapter, because that will really help you. So let's move on. I'm just going through my notes to see where we are here because we have to get past now that exercise. And when we do, we go into a break. Now we're going to talk about the third area. By the way, before I begin the third overall topic for this class, if anyone struggles in this area, and I don't know that you do, there's some mighty prayer warriors in this church, and I imagine that you're among those. But if anyone does struggle with the idea and the way to be more effective in prayer, especially with someone else, not so much yourself to God, but with someone that you may not know all that well, please talk to me about this. Probably we can help you and also point you to some resources. So you're not alone in trying to get better. Actually, any of us can improve our skills in that area. Now we're moving on to how the Bible speaks to you. So we're going to talk about using the Bible effectively in caregiving. Once again, I'm going to make a presumption that you read your Bible and that you do so regularly And so that's going to be a tremendous help. To be effective in using the Bible in caregiving, we have to be familiar with what's in the Bible, or at least overall what's in the Bible, and have read through it ourselves so that we can then select passages that might be very helpful for your caring relationship. Okay, now we're in chapter 7 in Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life. That starts on page 79. Again, take a look at it. I'm sorry, chapter 7, I was correct. My book flipped shut here and I forgot where I was. Okay, we're on page 79. In Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life. Why use the Bible? Very good topics in here. So please review those. But the Bible is God's Word. We know that. It's an important, critical resource of our faith, both in our lives and in our ministry. Yet, having said that, it doesn't mean that any random verse of scripture will be meaningful to a hurting person. So, you might have a favorite, but the favorite verse, or two or three or four, may not be appropriate or relevant to the particular time you're choosing to refer to scripture with your care receiver. Scripture at the wrong time can do more harm than good. I know that's a hard concept to even believe, but it's true. Scripture ill-timed, or perhaps the wrong scriptural passage, or not the best one, let's say, best scriptural passage, can be harmful. So we want to be really careful on how we use this most wonderful tool. So we're going to look at, now this is an individual exercise. Yes, in the class we kind of shared the information we came up with, but it is an individual exercise that I urge you to do when you have time to just sit down with your Bible and work through some favorite passages that you know. If you look at focus note 3 and 4 in your book, it's on page 75 and spills over to 76. That's where you can take notes. I might remind you that this is not a test of your Bible knowledge. We're just asking you to reflect on how the Bible has spoken to you personally, so hopefully you can use that information and that experience as it relates to your caring relationship. Now, for this exercise, we're defining passages and stories, Bible passages and stories, as different from one another. Please remember that. There is a distinction, and this is how the definitions work for this particular exercise. A Bible passage is any verse or a series of verses that offer comfort, convey a truth, or otherwise speak to you in a personal way. It could be an Old Testament proverb or prophecy, a teaching of Paul, or a saying of Jesus. Bible story is a different thing. That's an account of specific events involving people, a narrative with a beginning, a middle, and an end. For example, the creation story in Genesis would be a scriptural story. By the way, this is just something that I don't prefer, but I'm not saying it's wrong, but to use the term story when we refer to Bible events and accounts in the Bible, to me is a little bit light, maybe a little bit pointing in the wrong direction, because stories to us, they can be novels, they can be factual, they can be on all different kinds of topics. Oh, so this is a Bible story. It doesn't sound like it's very heavy or weighty or even has a lot of merit, if we use that word. So maybe in a Bible account or historical account or actual event, those give it perhaps a little bit more weight. But for the use in this particular exercise, you understand what we mean when we use the term story. So refer to your Bible, please, and I would suggest you do it now if you have time, and take some time to fill in as much as you can on both focus notes. So one focus note is going to talk about favorite Bible passages, and it gives the definition that they're using again, and then the other focus note talks about Bible stories or accounts. So I would suggest you list several of your favorite Bible passages and stories in the left column of each focus note, and then write down why it's one of your favorites. What we do in classes, obviously, when we get done with this part of the exercise, we come together and share our information. Now, you may not use these passages or these accounts in your caregiving. You may not. They may be such that they don't come up in your caregiving relationship. But by realizing how the Bible has spoken to you can help you to be more comfortable and sensitive and effective in sharing the Bible. So the main thing is that you have a personal relationship with Scripture. So if yours could be a little bit better or in more depth, it's a good time to work on that. But if you read your Bible every day and you're into Scripture and have been for quite some time, you should be well on your way to being able to use scriptural references in appropriate ways. And really, it'll be a wonderful blessing for your caring relationship. So the purpose of the exercises that you're doing now is to help you strengthen the connection you may already have with Scripture. It's even possible that some time in the future, one of your favorite passages or accounts or stories in the Bible may be just what your care receiver needs to hear. So it's not a waste of time. It's a good investment of time. So you're building kind of a resource library. Because I'm aware that even in this class, the question has come up, you know, how am I going to use the Bible? How am I going to remember the right passage at the right time? But if you prepare a little ahead, and if you kind of begin to see where the relationship is going, and you can extract and pull from your Bible some appropriate passages that might come in handy, and have them kind of in, you know, with you, or at least commended to memory, that will help you. So that way you can use them as a resource for like personal prayer or even in your caring as a Stephen minister. Now, we're going to talk again about the power of using the Bible in caregiving. There's no question. It's a powerful, effective tool. It can be. The Bible can bring comfort. It can bring insight and perspective for hurting people. So we urge you to use it. I reiterate, however, because it's emphasized in the material here from Stephen Ministry in this area, it must be used carefully and with discernment. So, for example, if you come in too soon with the Bible passages or stories to someone who's having a faith issue, you can risk coming across empty, cold, hurtful, kind of indifferent, not what you're intending. That's why you really need to do a lot of listening, reflecting, validating, all those things we've talked about, and affirming before you even think of using Scripture with a care receiver. So you're probably not going to walk in the first visit or two and use Scripture. Probably not. But you will as you go and build these resources tailored for this particular caring relationship. After you've done the listening and the reflecting, the validating, after you've done this and the other person knows they've been heard, you might consider offering a passage from the Bible, one that fits the situation. You might even ask, that would be a very good idea. You can ask your care receiver, would it be helpful if you shared a particular Bible story or passage in a particular instance? And if it appears that it would, then you want to be really careful and gentle about it, but you can go ahead and share. And remember, you're always listening to the person's needs and then choosing a Bible verse, rather than forcing a passage to fit the situation, which is definitely not what you want to do. Now, we did an exercise in class. It had to do with thinking about a time when someone shared a Bible passage with you and it was helpful, and then a time when they shared a passage with you and it was not helpful and why, and we just had some sharing going on between two partners. Okay, let's see. Let's take a look at Focus Note 5. It's on page 27. This is important, as are all the points that we make here in class, but there are three questions listed in Focus Note 5 that we should ask before sharing a Bible story or passage with a care receiver. Those three questions are critical, so please read them over. One has to do with, is my care receiver open to hearing Scripture right now? You know, the timing is everything. Is it relevant, the scriptural passage you're going to use, is it relevant to the situation, their situation? Is it likely that that care receiver is going to feel affirmed and validated by sharing that information rather than pressured or invalidated or judged, even worse? So, most of the time, it will help you to make sure the answer to these questions is yes before sharing any kind of information from the Bible or passage from the Bible. Over time, you're going to get skilled at introducing Scripture into your conversation, and you will use it appropriately based on your care receivers and the needs and the situation they're in. Take a look at Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life, page 81. You can flip over to page 81 for a moment. This section covers some ways to effectively use the Bible, and it would behoove you to take some time to go back over some of the points made here, like what translation do you choose? Something that, you know, a translation that would be easy for both you and your care receiver to relate to. Knowing some passages ahead of time, listening first, we just went over that. Introducing Scripture, how you might do that. So these are really good points, and I'd ask you to take a close look and review that information as soon as you're able. Okay, let's see. If you notice in Focus Note 6, page 77 in your book, this is the header is key guidelines for sharing Scripture in a caring relationship. So the question is, what guidelines from Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life seem especially important to you for sharing Scripture in a caring situation? And it, in class, we kind of went over what the answers might be. In addition, here's some things to think about. Avoid forcing the Bible on a care receiver. It's not a bludgeoning tool. We don't come in with it with force, whether or not it has any relevance to what's going on with that person at that moment. Use the translation you and your care receiver are likely to be comfortable with. You know, the King James Version is a very fine version, but it's not easy to understand and to read at times, so you might want to consider a different translation. Choose potentially helpful passages ahead of time, but share them only when they fit naturally. So, you know, you might think these are great, and they might be, but they have to be timed appropriately. Listen a lot. That's the first thing you do. Introduce Scripture gently into the conversation, very gently, very respectfully. Sometimes, just sharing a Bible passage is enough. You don't need to actually say more than that. When we get a little uncertain about what will we say. Well, really, Scripture stands on its own merits. There's not much we can say when we consider it's the Word of God. We're not going to add a whole lot, probably. So it can stand on its own. If you are discussing a passage, spend most of your time listening. Ask open-ended questions. After reading a passage, let's say, does this spark any thoughts or feelings you might like to share? Never, ever use the Bible to harass or manipulate, shame, or cause guilt for the care receiver. I can't imagine anyone here doing that, but I'm not going to say that it could never happen. I'm sure it has and could in some not good circumstances, so that's why it's mentioned here. The Bible can be, once again, a very effective tool. And using the passages in the Bible and the stories that, you know, that are in the Bible can be a great way to make the most of it. But it is crucial to use the Bible with sensitivity, drawing on it in ways that are going to meet that care receiver's needs. So in summary, use it, don't abuse it, and be very sensitive about how and when you use it. But it can be the best resource you have in caregiving. Your caregiver's compass illustration is on page 78. You might want to take a look at it and make some notes as to how what you learned in this module relates to being a compassionate caregiver, how it relates to being trustworthy or skilled, more skilled and full of faith. Okay, looking ahead. As believers, we're called upon to carry on Jesus' ministry in his power and through his spirit. We share the gospel with people who are weighed down by sadness and a lot of suffering. We bring people into God's presence so they can receive emotional and spiritual healing. We don't do physical healing. Actually, doctors don't either. They think they do. God heals. They use the God-given talents that they have and the knowledge they've acquired, but God heals. We bring people into God's presence so they can receive emotional and spiritual healing. And once again, that's from him. We share others' burdens so God might ease that oppression, that weight that's on them. Our commitment to love and care reflects the hope of being made new in Jesus Christ. And finally, God gives us the tools we need to carry out his ministry, this ministry, and not only for Stephen ministry, but for everyday caring. God equips us to bring a special kind of care to hurting people, a distinctively Christian care offered by Jesus working through us. So there's a lot of caregiving that's done by many good-hearted people, people who are doing some really fine things in this world to help others. But only Christian caregiving has the distinctive tools that we've talked about and resources that are really unequaled in terms of the quality of a faith-based caring program. These are the major concepts. We're closing this part of our discussion now, Module 4, Parts 1 and 2, on Christian caregiving and distinctively Christian caregiving. I hope it's been helpful. It's certainly a module you can look back on at any time that will help you as you care for your care receivers. In our next session, Module 5, we're going to talk about a process approach to caring. There is a reading assignment, pages 79 to 87 in your Stephen Minister Training Manual. It's the pre-class reading. There is a pre-class reading assignment this time for the next class. Please also review chapters 1 and 12 in Christian Caregiving, A Way of Life. Chapter 1, God is the Cure Giver. Chapter 12, Celebrate Results but Focus on the Process. Now, we've already read the book, and we're reviewing the book. What I'm asking you to do is just review those two chapters in particular. They'll be touched on in the next class. Also, please, read chapters 4 through 7 in Speaking Truth in Love. We're going to use this book in a couple of sessions from now. You started reading it already, but please pick up and complete chapters 4 through 7. Okay, I hope you found this helpful. I'd like to close with a blessing. And I just want to say again, if you have any questions on any of this information as we go forward with each of these modules, please don't hesitate to contact me. by email, by phone, or if you see me at church, be very happy to talk with you about any of the points made. Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May he give us strength to help bear another's burdens. May he give us patience so that we can listen attentively. May he give us healing words when we're called to speak. And may his love shine through everything we do. In his name and to his glory. Amen.